Hello, everyone, and welcome to the RSEC teleconference held on Tuesday, the 20th of July, 2021 at 1900 UTC. Tim, would you like me to start the roll call?
Yes, please.
All right. Carlos Martinez, representing the ASO, I note is not on the call yet. Peter Cook, CCNSO.
Yes, present.
Kaveh Ranjbar, ICANN board.
Present.
Kim Davies, PTI.
Present.
Tim April, IETF.
Present.
Howard Eland, RYSG.
Yes, ma'am.
Danielle Migaud, representing the RSEC, I note is not on the call yet. Dwayne Wessels, RZM.
Yes, Dwayne is here. Hello.
Jeff Houston, ESSEC.
Hi.
All right. And then from staff, we have myself, Danielle Rutherford. Tim, over to you.
Thanks, Danielle. I hope everyone's had a chance to look over the agenda. Any comments or anything to add or remove? Seeing anything? So the first step was to go over the minutes from last month. Any comments, questions about the minutes from last month? Okay, not hearing anything. Oh, go ahead.
No, I said no.
Okay, sorry. You take that as approved and we post those. And the next thing up was, so we got updated advice understanding from the ICANN board for RSEC 002. I finally just had a chance to review them. They're basically, or my understanding was, 1A, B, and C. Their understanding is to basically conduct work requested in RSEC 028, and they're marking R, I think those three as complete. I think they're basically the same text. Then the recommendation two, they revised it to be ICANN org should determine their own criteria for evaluating the risk. Does anyone have any comments or suggested edits that we should make to this before sending it back to the board?
Seeing that there are no comments, I assume that means that we can respond that we confirm the understanding for each recommendation in RSEC 002, and I can send that back to the advice team today.
Sounds good to me. Mm-hmm. I believe the next item on the agenda was comments for 003.
Yes, I didn't get these out onto the mailing list in time for a 1 week review before this meeting, so I thought we could just clarify the clarifying comment text I put for RSEC 003. Essentially, you can see them here in this far right column on the screen.
Danielle, could you paste the link in the chat?
Oh, yes.
The only question I had looking at these was, since we're providing clarifying comments, do we need to say no to them?
No, not necessarily. I think there are times if you generally agree with it, but you just want to add just like, yes, and also we'd like the opportunity to review the results is fine. I think it's when you meaningfully change something in or disagree with the understanding is when you need to say no. Okay. I know Ken has his hand up.
Yeah, thanks. Firstly, I like the text of the clarifying comments, but I wanted to confirm my understanding with this group, what's meant by opportunity to review. I just want to confirm that there's not sort of a explicit or implicit expectation that the RZERC has to come to a formal decision around the plans that are shared with RZERC for that review. That it's presumably acceptable for ICANN to, you know, provide draft plans, to provide adequate time for review, but RZERC's explicit consent is not required to move forward with those plans if it's not forthcoming. Is that a correct interpretation of what we're saying here?
Yes, this is Jeff. Look, Kim, I didn't actually think that RZERC was meant to be the project manager of the implementation of this. And it could be interpreted that those clarifying comments are kind of inserting it as a role of project manager, which I think is kind of overstretched for RZERC, to be perfectly frank. I suspect that the safeguard here is that if these engagement results tend to suggest that it's a bad idea, I think RZERC would like to be able to see and understand what is going on, because RZERC wrote RZERC 003 on the understanding that they thought it was a damn good idea. And if it's not so, or if engagement tends to point in the other way, it would be good to understand why. And I think that's there in the clarifying comments. But you know, I don't see it any more than that. And I certainly don't see it as RZERC trying to assert some degree of project management or coordination myself. Thanks.
Yeah, Kav is speaking here. I fully agree with Jeff. I also have same interpretation.
Same with me as well.
Wonderful. Thank you.
All right. There are no other
is that something that we will just keep as an internal understanding then, or do we need to tweak the wordings in this spreadsheet?
I think from my perspective, I think that accords with the wording and accords with my understanding.
Okay.
I know on last month's call we were kind of, I think, vacillating between a few different approaches, and I just wanted to confirm we had a common understanding. And I think it's totally reasonable. So I don't see a problem with the wording as it's written.
Okay, thanks.
I think especially since the wording is appreciate the opportunity and to provide comments and not we would appreciate the opportunity to approve or disapprove. But if anything comes back, I'll send any responses but to the committee if that's misconstrued. If there are no other comments on this, I can also send that back to the advice team today.
Sounds good to me. Thank you, Danielle.
All right.
And then
I'm good. I feel like I'm kind of catching up on some of this stuff. Can I ask a question about The third one, which is about engaging with software developers. So, you know, the original ICANN understanding was resolver software developers. We have some comments here about how maybe it should be broader than that. I guess my concern would be from the point of view of actually getting this deployed, you know, to the root zone. I wouldn't want this to become something that drags it out for a long time. Like, you know, ICANN feels it necessary to engage with every, you know, last DNS software vendor out there and that sort of thing. So am I worrying about something that I shouldn't worry about, or is that, do you think that needs to be addressed somehow?
Peter?
Yeah, thanks. This is Peter for the record. I think there's two aspects to that. One is this narrowly focused discussion of Zone MD, and then explaining to a wider audience and to the software DNS software community, so to speak, what this is for. And maybe there's these two channels need to be addressed differently, and the details can be left to ICANN org in a way. My understanding was that with this comment, we were not specifically endorsing hyperlocal, because that was not the question asked to us. So if we now suggest that that ICANN org go and engage with software vendors, that might be seen or could be perceived as an endorsement of hyperlocal. Now I don't think there's any bad thing in endorsing that, but if I remember correctly, there is still one question open, which is the distribution of the root zone outside the current channel. So how do they all get the copies? And I know there's lots of sources, but maybe that distribution infrastructure needs another pair of eyes or so. So I would distinguish that and maybe clarify that. One thing is we're adding something, the RZM is adding something to the root zone. What is this for? And then if you think that's reasonable, you go there, but we don't say you should do hyperlocal, maybe not yet at least. Thank you.
Jeff?
Yeah, hi, Jeff Houston. Look, this is based on RFC 8806. And one way to actually address the issue of software developers is to communicate through an update to RFC 8806 that points out the existence of Zone MD and effectively advises in Section 3 or Section 2, maybe Section 3 and 4 in security considerations, that clients should look at the Zone MD record and validate the contents of the zone. Now, for RZERC to say, let's do an RFC, is kind of daunting. The short circuit would be for RZERC to gently suggest to Mr. Hoffman in Okto that he should update RFC 8806. Sounds like a possible way through this without the same degree of formality. But nevertheless, I think it remains the fact that it's the way we communicate in software development is by standard specifications. And the way to do it in this case is to update 8806 to catch that ball and to actually distribute that information. So Paul or maybe Dwayne would like to push out an update to 8806. And it is really an update. It doesn't obsolete it. It just adds more information that says Zone MD is there. You should check it. Thank you.
Dwayne?
So I think my concern was a little different, and maybe I didn't state it very well. At some point ICANN is going to go through these recommendations and check off when they are done. So how will they know when this one is done? Is it just that they have, you know, been in contact with implementers, software developers, or is it done when, you know, implementations have been done. Again, my concern is I don't want this to become something that can drag out the whole process. So how does ICANN know when they can claim, you know, when they can check off this recommendation from their list? I hope it's not update an RFC.
Daniel?
To me, it looks like checking if it is being implemented by developers is pretty straightforward to check. But I don't think it's sufficient to, it's not because it's implemented that is being enabled by the people operating resolvers. So I'm wondering, my first understanding of Duane comments was that we want it to be used as opposed to simply implemented. And I thought that this is what we were willing to measure.
Right. So I guess the thing I'm struggling with a little bit is certainly, you know, I think the implementer should be encouraged, or the developer should be encouraged to implement this, but I don't think it should be something that holds up the deployment of the record or of the feature to the root zone. You know, it's not required. Mm.
Okay.
You know, we can deploy the record without any implementations. I just think we should encourage them, but again, you can tell me if I'm inventing problems that don't exist. But I just worried a little bit that maybe as written, this could become a blocker, or at least in somebody's mind.
You know, I don't think it needs that degree of formality of making sure both producer and consumer are checked off, and quite frankly, engage with software developers is really an amorphous statement that's close to impossible to figure out when you're done. I do think, Duane, as you are a co-author of 8976, one of many, I note, that the reference to 8806 and the use in hyperlocal is somewhat passing. And it really is phrased in a near, it's there, near, you might like to do it. And that's kind of a very loose and very vague endorsement of actually doing the check. And it seems that if we really would like to see this as part of hyperlocal, then, you know, it does require some engagement in the IETF venue to make it part of the standard specification of hyperlocal. If we don't really think it's our problem, that's a fine answer too. But, you know, you're kind of straddling the fence in this particular entry of engaging with resolver software developers, saying, well, okay, you should, but if you're not going to make it as part of an update to hyperlocal, then what are you going to do? You know, post a notice on the door outside ICANN's office? I'm like, seems a bit crazy. So I'm not sure you can have it both ways. I'm like, I think the best way to do this is to actually do this through the IETF process and make specific updates to hyperlocal and say, well, that's the way software developers actually inform themselves of common standards. But AZERC, I think it'd be a tough ask to ask AZERC to build such an RFC and get it through the process. Part of the reason why this is a representative group is that there are, representatives from the IETF. And it would be good to say gently to that representative, you know, an update to the standard specification of hyperlocal could actually be a good thing. And maybe that's the best way of doing it without actually involving the ICANN board. Thanks.
And then is that an old hand, Daniel?
Oh, yeah, it's an old one.
And then Peter?
Yeah, thanks. Peter again. I agree this should not block the deployment. The one thing that, because it's been quite a while and I probably have forgotten about that, did we anywhere have an impact assessment on systems outside the official root server set where we, I think, have the commitment of the root server operators to that they can cope with this? What would happen in today's scenarios when this unexpected record shows up in the root zone? Well, I do know it was 3597 or something that actually says thou shalt not stumble across unknown RR types, but then again, we don't know. Do we have that impact assessment anywhere?
No.
Okay. But it's rather the opposite side. One thing is that hyperlocal deployment should be encouraged to make use of this. The other one is the risk avoidance of will anyone who does hyperlocal or anything else like that today, will they face issues? And in theory, there's no problem. And most likely, most of the practice, it isn't either. So we may choose to ignore it. Just wanted to raise it because I was confident we had captured it already. Sorry. And it actually might not necessarily be the name server software that stumbles across this. It could be some integrity checker or something else.
Yeah.
And I had a similar concern to you that you had, Duane, of the timing when I was reading this a while back and made me wonder about it. But when I read the last sentence of this, of the proposed update, it made me think that it would be the public comment process where it would have a time bound on it. But we're not actually calling for a public comment as I look at it and didn't know how that would be handled. But I'm happy to go back to the IAB and they're not sure how they would do it, but we were talking about how they might be able to help our Zerk if we had a request exactly like this to push something through. And I can go back and have a conversation with them about that if it seems reasonable.
Well, let's see. Jeff's suggestion to update the 8806, I think, is reasonable. I just think it should be separate from this process of deploying the record to the root zone. I don't think those should be tied together. And I'm not sure that, Jeff, do you think they should be tied together or not?
Well, chicken and egg, Duane. If we update the RFC and it's not in the root zone, that's a bit of a wasted effort. If we update the root zone and, 8806 isn't updated and folk don't check it, it's a bit of a wasted effort. So there is a dance going on. The point that I was trying to do in responding to Tim is that I think, in most of the cases, RZERC acts as an advisory body to the ICANN board and says, these are good things to do. And you folk, the doers, should actually enable processes to do them. But I think in this case, this is one of coordination across a number of bodies where RZERC's cross-body representative structure can actually be used appropriately. And so this thing about having ICANN org engage in with Resolver software developers, and we talked about this broader DNS community of developers, is one where the ICANN board is actually in no better and maybe a worse position than RZERC itself. So I applaud Tim's suggestion that this is something where the IETF as a group can actually do the right thing and actually help this along by creating an update to 8806 that mentions Zone MD. And I think that's a perfectly good resolution. I just don't think necessarily that the ICANN board and ICANN org need to necessarily track the progress of that. I think that's something that the RZERC can hand to one of its representative members and say thank you to. Did I say that clearly? I'm not sure if I'm seeing a puzzled expression on your face or not, Dwayne.
Well, my interpretation of what you just said would mean that we would like withdraw this recommendation then, because these recommendations are to the board, the ICANN board.
You know, and I think what I've said is actually the case, that literally to help folk along that path of adding that as protections into hyperlocal is not something where the ICANN org or board necessarily have a responsibility, but it is a case where the IETF, as the purveyor of industry standards, has a direct and active role in specifying what is regarded as a standard behavior for interoperation. And so, you know, the more I speak, the more I talk myself into the fact that that is an action item implementation that is necessarily an IETF outcome. And it's a case of how do we seed that work into the IETF? So, yeah, I think I agree with you, Dwayne, in some respects.
I haven't thought this all the way through yet, but I'm not sure that there may still be something that the ICANN org can do to help advertise this change beyond just the update to 8806. Because not all name server developers are heavily involved with the IETF. So I think people in Octo may have contacts at other resolver or other name server software vendors that they could encourage to adopt a change there, but it may be a multi-pronged approach where it's us suggesting to ICANN org that they work within the IETF and then do other outreach as necessary or something like that.
I don't think it's as anarchic as you're making out, Tim. I'm like, quite frankly, customers rely on developers adhering to standards, because otherwise the product that they get from the developer is you know, anarchic rubbish. And so standards are the way we orchestrate all of our actions to produce one outcome. So, you know, I think it's really important that the standard specifications map up RFC 8806 and 8976 together, saying, you know, in the context of hyperlocal, this is a really good idea and you should use it in client software, full stop. The only residual thing that I think might be useful here is that in the primary authoritative source of ZoneMD, it is indeed the root server operators and it is indeed RSAC. And either RZERC directly engages with our RSAC representative, Daniel, directly communicate this to them, or communicates via the ICANN board itself, saying that this engagement in creating hyperlocal server software has to be ZoneMD aware, but we assume that anyway, but we'd like to check on that understanding. Thank you, ICANN board. Maybe you should ask RSAC to confirm this understanding. But I don't think it, you know, requires ICANN org to do much more than that. You know, it's not well engaged to directly interface to the software developer community, whereas I think the IETF is the place where customers rely on developers who rely on standards as the way this industry works. Thanks. If I could gently propose a way through that qualification of understanding in the rightmost column, I think if we said RZERC intended that anyone and leave out the ICANN org to engage with. So RZERC intended that anyone that writes name server software should incorporate ZoneMD. RZERC notes that engagement with this larger community would entail an update to the standard specification of hyperlocal in particular. The outstanding action for ICANN.org is to ensure that RSAC, as a potential hyperlocal publisher, is aware of ZoneMD and confirms their ability to include it in their published zone file. So I think that whole thing about public notice just doesn't work. It's got to be an RFC.
Howard? Howard, your hand up.
Thanks, Howard Elon, for the record. So based on a lot of this conversation, I'm kind of steering my thoughts towards Jeff's comment of saying, should we even do this at all? And the reason I say that it was from a slightly different angle, and that is when I go back to, you know, go back to our illustrious charter and scoping, just comments to name server software providers that they should implement X or Y, you know, out in the fray or as it relates to any hyperlocal zone that they may be, that folks may or may not be running. It just seems like we are getting way down the long tail of scope, if there at all. So, I mean, a better consideration would be if someone had built in this functionality and then was, if a root server operator was had this functionality capability ready to go, and they were pondering whether or not to want to try and add things in, then, you know, as part of the root zone operations, now it becomes an RZERC thing, right? But before that, I mean, I'm scared of the precedent of checking every RFC and advising named server software developers on which things they should implement, which things are not. That just seems like the wrong path to me. So welcome comments. Thank you. Over.
Peter?
Yeah, so I think the crucial part is getting the things in the right sequence. And since there is this, I believe it's standard track, at least it's the record definition from the ITF, the question upon RZERC would be, has everybody who may or could be concerned been part of the discussion? And we've maybe we haven't just identified it, but obviously the current distributors of the root zone, namely as reflected or represented by RSAC, they would have two questions to answer. One is, there's two ways of communicating this. The one is, can you confirm that it will do no harm to your infrastructure if we add that new record type to the root zone? That's one thing. That's the do no harm clause. The other one, and then from there, we could go and say, well, the conversation has been had, and RZERC now has no objections to entering the record in the root zone. The next one is, and that is probably RSAC internal or even root ops internal, whether or not the root server operators would want to make use of that actual record, which is, again, a different thing. The remaining part is what I mentioned before, the rest of the community, which is today probably the operators of hyperlocal or similar things that even existed before Hyperlocal was named Hyperlocal, how would they be affected by this new record type in the root zone? And that's probably an unknown to us, and we still need to, or still can discuss whether we put any effort into that. The crucial path, of course, is the root ops. But from my perspective, first and foremost, this do no harm question, or does it interfere with your operations? And secondary to that, the question of is there a recommendation to the root ops to actually make use of that record? Thanks. And sorry, by the way, and only after that record has appeared in the root zone, of course, there is that it makes sense to have this updated hyperlocal RFC, which is an informational, I believe, but doesn't necessarily matter. That should only be published after the record has been made present in the root zone.
Peter, when you mentioned do the RSO are going to use that functionality, you mean if the check is not validated, then we reject the zone or abort the zone transfer?
Yeah, that would be a question. Well, it might be inappropriate for Azure to discuss.
Yeah, yeah. No, whether the what you had in mind.
I had in mind, okay, if there are the expectations that they make use of it. Oh, well, yeah, but thanks for asking that question. I could clarify in a way that make use of could mean that they don't accept the zone, or at least check whether their copy is matching the hash, and then do something out of band or something.
Okay.
But today's integrity checks aren't subject to public discussion either, I believe. So that's
where
it might appear inappropriate. Thanks.
Yeah.
I actually put a comment into the spreadsheet. And if Daniel sort of expands the screen to the right, you'd actually see a bit. I think to summarize what I've heard so far, I actually think that this particular recommendation is not a recommendation to ICANN.org. It's a recommendation elsewhere. And so one way of looking at this is to say, no, ICANN's org's understanding is not correct. The clarifying comment is that AZERC intended this as a recommendation to the broader community of software development, and the appropriate action is for this to be taken up as an update to the standards process, to the standard specification of Hyperlocal 8.8.0.6. No further action by ICANN.org directly is envisaged in this recommendation. And so it kind of leaves it dangling, but it says quite explicitly, it's not a box that ICANN.org needs to tick, which I think is really the focus of this discussion. You know, at some point, other folk have to take up that particular piece of work, and that's fine, but ICANN.org is not responsible for that per se. It's something that others need to do, not ICANN.org, is where I'm going with this. So, yes, I would simply say there is no actions for ICANN.org here. It's directed at the IETF and the standards associated with this. Thanks.
So I think that's a good way to put it, Jeff, and I support going in that direction if others do as well.
It might be worth being explicit, if that's the case, to also say ICANN is not expected to wait for conclusion on that matter by...
Right. Right. Yeah.
Does anyone disagree with that approach? Seeing nothing.
I can take the text from the transcript of the recording later today and then include that as the response back to ICANN.org by the end of day today.
Thank you, Danielle. And then were there any additional comments? So we looked at one and two, had the discussion about three, and then there's the response to the fourth recommendation. We talked briefly about this, but I think this was addressing, or we discussed this in the last call. Were you about to say something, Dwayne?
Maybe I have.
I think it's good. I don't have any further comments on this one.
And then did you have something to say, Daniel?
Yeah, so just to clarify, we would like to update an RFC. Is that to somehow encourage the use of the ZoneMD record, or I mean, just to make sure I understand it completely.
I think what's going on here, if I could jump in with a quick answer to you, Daniel, is that 8806 comes before 8796. In other words, it precedes it and makes no particular mention of saying, you know, it's a really good idea to check the integrity of the entire zone, which is really what's going on. 8796 was way more generic than the root, and it makes passing mention to 8806, but doesn't explicitly formally update it to say it would be a good idea too. And that's the missing bit. And it is as simple as an RFC that updates 8806 to saying, it would be a good idea to check that record if it's in the zone file. And if it's not in the zone file you're getting, it may be a good idea to think about why it's not there, because it should be.
Okay.
And that's as simple as the update need be. Thanks.
Thank you, Jeff.
Any additional comments on the responses to 003? Okay. Move on to the next item. The next one is the topic scoping exercise. So I noticed that Danielle had mentioned that she had been talking to some people within ICANN about the update to the charter review that we're due to complete this year. Ahead of that, one of the things that was done in the past, or in when the charter was created, was a topic scoping exercise. And I proposed redoing that to make sure that we're all on the same page of what the charter should be. And thanks to Dwayne and Danielle for having the old documents. I pulled out all of the contents from the Google form that was used last time, and we sent that around to the mailing list. And wanted to see if there was any changes that people would make to that list. My rough idea of a goal for this exercise would be to try and kick it off between this meeting and the next meeting so that we can review the results and depending on what Danielle has for an update about the charter review. I don't know exactly what the timing that we need to complete that by is, but to try and get as much done as we can, as quickly as we can. So I don't know if everyone's had a chance to look it over. This is exactly the same as it was the last time this was done. And we can start with Jeff.
Sorry, yeah, I looked at this through the week and sort of had my own comments, which I was thinking about sharing here. But then I think, you know, in some ways, this is a mix between the evolution of design and architecture of the route, the evolution of the procedures and processes that manage the route, and the tactical operational issues in serving the route. And, you know, it gets back to this charter discussion of where does RZERC fit in the scheme of things? And certainly there are some issues where it's actually unclear. And let me, I suppose, point out the DNSSEC key size of the KSK and the ZSK for the root and the algorithm. You know, to some extent, one could regard them as operational. Moving the key size of the ZSK from 1024 to 2048 did not, to my only partial knowledge, I'm not sure, but did not involve an RZERC sign-off. It's in some ways was considered operational, I'm sure, and managed within other processes. And so if one wished to filter out this list to say yes, no, which is what I was trying to do, I found in my head going, where's the boundary of RZERC? What makes sense for this particular representative group to engage, and what makes sense for others also engaged in the root system to manage those particular topics? And that was kind of my hesitancy at this point in looking at such a large list. It just left me wondering about charter primarily, because I think the charter should come before the list in some respects, rather than picking out things we'd like to do and then making the charter match what we'd like to do. That seems a bit backwards to me. Thank you.
Can I just go? so I think, yeah, I mean, so as someone involved in creating this list originally, you know, we were sort of handed a charter, and then we used this list to sort of test our understanding of the charter, right? That's how this exercise was done. Some of these questions, you know, or topics, as I and the committee were writing them, you know, we knew they were going to be out of scope, but they were here anyway for completeness, and again to sort of test everyone's understanding. And you know, in some cases we got unexpected answers, and in some cases we got the expected answers. I think the list is, you know, mostly still relevant and good. Some of these things, like, you know, Jeff mentioned the key size change for the ZSK, these have already happened, and they happened sort of without RZERC. So, you know, there are maybe some cases where we know that those should be considered out of scope. But by and large, I think it's a good list. What was I gonna say? Oh, yeah, the other thing that I found interesting in doing the exercise the first time is that there, you know, if you ranked the results sort of by in scope to out of scope, it was a very continuous, right? There was no obvious points where all of a sudden we got into topics that were out of scope. It was a whole continuous spectrum of responses. So thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Peter. Again, just as a short follow up to Duane, indeed, this I would use this as a kind of stress test or scope test for the charter rather than a wish list or what we would like to do. The idea is that if we suggest that something is within or without scope, and as Duane said, there are clear-cut issues, and something that may or may not be in scope, depending on how the question is precisely framed, that would actually help us in turn to go through the charter review rather than vice versa. So I would agree that doing this exercise is a good preparation for the charter review.
And so going off of what Duane said a second ago, would it make sense to have two questions for each of these? Of one, considering the current charter, is this in scope? And then the second question being, should we revise the charter should it be in the member's opinion, should it be in scope or out of scope? And basically determining whether or not we should revise the charter to bring it in or push it out of scope. Um, Dwayne, I think, was first.
Okay, I'm not sure, but I think that would be good feedback to have. I don't know necessarily about two questions. I mean, you could have that in a comment field or whatever, but yeah, I think that might be good feedback to have. When we did the topic exercise the first time, if I remember correctly, it was it was mostly multiple choice, in scope, not sure, out of scope, so three choices. And then there was a comment field where people could write down their thoughts as to why they made the choice, or ask questions about, ask clarifying questions about the topic. But yeah, I like your suggestion to think about whether or not it needs, the charter needs to be revised in this context of some of these.
Peter, is that a new hand or old hand?
That's indeed a new one. I like that suggestion. Maybe revising the charter is already getting a step ahead, but finding out for any of these, when you think that it's not in scope, then the question is it dealt with elsewhere, or does it fall between the cracks, or does it involve two or more of the other groups that may be involved and therefore needs or could benefit from AZERC having a look at it in addition to the others. So this out of scope or in scope should always come with a reason or some thought why it is here and there before we discuss whether the charter should be amended.
Okay.
Look, I think Dwayne and Peter have made really good suggestions here. I don't think AZERC is in control of its agenda with complete autonomy. It can't just say what it wants to do and everyone else goes, oh, yeah, that sounds like a fine idea. There are many people involved in the root service and many different interests being expressed. And that's great. That's fine. But what that means is a change in the charter for AZERC sort of ripples around a whole bunch of others. And I don't think there's autonomy for AZERC to simply assert a different charter. But looking at this list and reconsidering in the terms of the charter, whether it's in scope or out of scope, and in some ways, once we've got that kind of understanding and an understanding about the scope of the current charter, there are a number of consequent questions which are great questions. One is certainly, should the charter be revised? And that's a broader question than just to AZERC. But secondly, and I think equally importantly, if AZERC thinks they're important questions but not in the scope of AZERC, what do other folk think about the same question? And it's not necessarily AZERC's problem, but it's a root problem, and maybe it's ARSAC or someone else might want to take a look at the outcomes of that and figure out for themselves and PTI, if AZERC isn't doing this and AZERC thinks it's important, what do we think? Is an equally valid question. But I would stick with the scope that Dwayne is proposing here. Just look at this about in scope, out of scope, and understandings and reasons, as Peter has suggested, and phrase it that way, and not sort of make it as a lead-in for a revision of the charter necessarily. I think the charter discussion has its own sort of weight and volume outside of this list exercise, which I think is a useful exercise in its own right, within the scope of the existing charter. Thank you.
Kim?
Yeah, I think one bit of perspective I wanted to add, which might be unique to me, maybe Dwayne shares a similar perspective, is I think as operators, we really lack a clear sense of what we should be bringing to AZERC. And I think perhaps not this specific exercise, but what I would love to see is sort of a conclusion of these efforts is getting to some kind of consensus about, putting in a box, these are the kinds of things that VeriSign and or PTI should expect within their wheelhouse to decide as sort of day-to-day operational matters. And there's common consensus that this does not need to be brought to AZERC or other kind of body for implementation. On the other hand, here are things that clearly must go for AZERC review. And I'm sure there'll be some in the middle there where there's some lack of clarity and it will be a discussion. But we're almost 5 years into post-transition IANA, and I won't pretend that I have a clear sense of where those boundaries lie. And I think my default position would be to bring almost everything to RZERC for a first pass. I'm not sure that's the right conclusion, but I think that's kind of where we're at right now. So whatever we can do to sort of build our understanding of how this interpretation of the charter, you know, impacts our day-to-day operations, that will give us greater clarity to make sure the right things are brought to RZERC moving forward. Thanks.
And Daniel?
Yeah, so what isn't clear to me with this the topic exercise is are we trying to test, to do a stress test to the charter, or are we actually using common sense to define the topics that we believe are in charge of RZERC? Typically, if I see something, even if the charter seems to say, yeah, it's fine, it could be RZERC, I might think this topic might be handled in a different places and it might be more appropriate in that. So what do we expect in my case, in that case, for example? Should I answer, no, it should not be RZERC. I think it might be more, I'm saying RUDOPS or RSAC to deal with that. Or should I say, yeah, I'm reading the charter and the charter says that, so this is in scope.
Dwayne?
Well, Daniel, I'm not sure those two things should be different. I guess I don't understand the difference. But for me, where this exercise is really useful is for the committee as a whole to gauge its understanding of topics being in scope or out of scope. So in cases where, you know, the committee generally agrees that topics are out of scope, then okay, that's great. And where it generally agrees that where everyone agrees they're in scope, that's great. We're all on the same page. But there's going to be this whole middle ground where you're going to think something's in scope based on your interpretation of the charter or whatever documents. And I'm going to feel oppositely. And so then we need to have a discussion about, you know, where are we disconnecting? Where's the misunderstanding? Why do you think it's one way and I think it's another way? And maybe that leads to a charter clarification or maybe we just talk it through and you convince me that I was mistaken, you know, and then I've updated my understanding. So that's really the purpose of the exercise in my mind. Does that help with your question or not?
Yeah. So at the end of the day, we want to check which topic are in scope of RZERC.
Yes.
We understand. Okay.
Yes. Like if a member brought one of these topics to RZERC for consideration, would you say yes, this is something we should take on, or would you say no, this okay. is not for RZERC to take on?
Okay. Right. So we are not expecting to have a lawyer reading of the charter. It's more a technical or common sense of the charter.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Good.
Okay. We're at the top of the hour. I'll try and review the transcript and synthesize a proposal of how to do this and either send it to the list or we can discuss it next month and see where we can go from there. And then is it possible to get the update you were going to provide, Danielle, as an email to the list, or should we wait till next month for that?
I'll send an email to the list this week.
Okay.
So will we have a sort of doodle pool or something that we say yes, no, or?
I was going to try and take all of the comments from this and propose something to the list of how to move forward with the topic review.
Okay, right.
And then it will probably be a Google form or something like that we fill out.
Oh, yeah, whatever.
Anything?
And I think at some point we need to talk about any sort of sensitivity concerns about the topics themselves, how we want to how we want to handle that. On list or not on list and so on. but that's gonna be next time.
Okay. Thank you all. Talk to you next month. And
okay. See you.
Thank you.
See ya.
Bye.